Hi, and welcome to the A Quilting Life podcast with Sherry and Chelsea. I am Chelsea Stratton of Chelsea Stratton Designs.
And I'm Sherry from A Quilting Life.
And we're so excited to be here with you again today. This episode will air on February 1st. We're just filming it a little bit early. So we're near the end of January. So right. Yeah.
So things are going well.
Yeah, I feel like it was so fun to have the goals podcast and just already being able to implement those. And so far I'm doing okay. So that's a good thing. We'll talk about that soon, but let's start off with quilts.
Okay.
Okay. So on the wall, I have a quilt that's called Over the Rainbow. I thought this one was so fun. My kids all love it. And you might not be able to see the fun stars you might be able to see halfway up, right, Billy? Mm-hmm. So we have some fun stars on the top and the bottom, and then it's just featuring like this really large, fun rainbow block. And it's so much fun to piece. It uses yardage. And one of my favorite things is, well, first of all, I made it using our Summer Suite collection. But this background, I used our little sparkle print background that kind of gives it some texture. So this one's a lot of fun. I love that one. And then on the table, we have Promenade, and it is fat quarter friendly. This one was made using our Balboa collection, and I love this one. It's a bigger block quilt and just so much fun to make. So those are our quilts today. And yes, if you're looking for them, you'll be able to find them in the description on the video. So, and Billy kind of went over that in last week's podcast for those of you who were struggling to find those links.
Right.
So, thank you, Billy, for doing that. So,
yeah. And I link the patterns on the show notes.
Yeah. Page, yeah. Too. You'll have that.
So, yeah.
So, yeah.
So, we're just going to kind of jump right into it with what is new. And we got sample yardage recently.
Yes.
For our next collection that we'll be sharing in March.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot of fun. We're both excited. I feel like I can kind of speak for both of us. This line is different, and you'll notice that it's very different. It's very fun, and we're really excited about it. So
yeah, in fact, I confused Billy today. I pointed to it stacked up on the shelf, and I said, "Hey, that's our new fabric collection." He was like, "What? What?"
Were you surprised? You were surprised, Billy.
Yeah. Yeah. I know nothing about fabric. I always will make that disclaimer, but I looked at it and I'm like, that just doesn't look like all the other things on the shelf. So I'll just leave it at that.
Yep.
So Billy's little hint for you guys, it's quite different from our regular fabrics, but we're really excited about it. So yeah, we're excited to start sewing with it.
Yeah. And I'm sewing. I've got some blocks done.
Oh my goodness. Am I surprised that you... I've seen mom's quilts though, you guys, and they're really pretty. You'll love them.
Oh, so. And Chelsea's are great too.
Well, thank you.
So, yeah. And then the other thing, we can talk about this now.
Yeah.
The APQ, American Patchwork and Quilting Quilt Along, will begin later this month. And my 9-patch square dance quilt that is in the April issue of American Patchwork and Quilting is the featured pattern for the sew along.
Oh, fun!
So, and I think, I don't have my quilt back yet, but the quilt has been shown now. The issue is hitting newsstands this week. And so I believe we can pop a picture up on the screen to show you what that quilt looks like.
I have seen that one. So, it's very, very cute.
Yeah.
And the APQ quilt along will help me in one of my goals that I said talk about soon. So
that's right. And I am going to be sewing along for the quilt along too, and making a second version of the quilt.
Oh, fun. So fun.
I'm excited.
Okay.
Okay. So we actually, when we taped our last episode, we had so many questions that...
Tons.
Yeah, we didn't get through them all. And then we got a couple new ones just recently. So
yeah.
I think we're good to go with listener questions.
Yeah, we didn't want to miss those ones that we didn't get to last time.
Right.
So, we appreciate your questions so much. So we are going to dive into those.
Oh, so. Wait. Do we want to do the goals review first?
Oh, yes.
Everyone asked for us to kind of review our progress.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I actually just talked about one because one of my goals was to start a quilt along or block of the month. And I knew Mom was going to have the APQ one. So that one I'm going to start. And I think that's going to be a lot of fun. But also somebody on our Facebook page posted their first block of your block of the month, and they did it using Christmas fabrics. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So I'm kind of torn. So if I have time, I might start that one in Christmas fabric specifically.
Yeah.
So it was really cute. So that one will be starting, I'll be getting to soon. Blogging. I totally did it this month.
Yes, you did.
So Mom read it. And then my third one is trying a new technique, and I haven't gotten to that one yet, but that's where I'm at in my progress, and I'm hoping that's soon. Awesome. So, yeah.
That's awesome. My 6-inch version of the block of the month is Christmas, too. I don't know if you've seen that, but I'm making both sizes. So my 12-inch blocks are with our Happy Days collection, but my 6-inch blocks are with Christmas,
too. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that will actually air this week, right? The video for that on Thursday.
Which one was it again?
For the February block of the month.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yes, so mm-hmm. that will be coming this week. So that you'll have two patterns.
Yeah, the 4th.
Awesome. Yes, February 4th. So as far as goals, my Saturday system is going really well.
Oh, good.
I did switch the weeks. It was actually because I think I had the third Saturday down for working on block of the month projects, and I wanted to make my February block a little bit earlier in the month. So on the second week, I did block of the month, and then on the third is cleaning up the sewing room. So I'm doing something every Saturday for that system, so that's good. And I'm ending my work day on time.
You are?
So I'm pretty proud of you. I've had kind of some special things going on where I had days that I couldn't work at all, and so then I would work maybe later another day just so I could have a whole day off. But it's balancing out. I'm not working.
Oh, good.
Too many long hours, so yeah, I think the goals are going well. Household systems are getting there. So yeah, I feel good. Okay, so, and we did want to bring up one thing just before we get into the listener questions. We got a lot of comments on left-handed pinning.
Yes, we did.
I learned a lot. Yeah. So, and it goes to show it really does make sense if you're left-handed that you have the pinhead on the other side.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So many comments on that. It was fun.
That was interesting.
To read them.
Yeah. There were a lot. I actually pulled it up right now, but it looks like you guys saw most of them. There's a lot of left-handed quilters.
A lot of left-handed quilters. Yeah. That was interesting. So.
I also have to say, I can't find it right here, but somebody mentioned that they are a retired video editor. And she liked my analogy comparing editing videos to quilts.
To quilt. So I did read that.
I feel justified in saying that because an actual video editor, a professional, agreed with it.
So agreed with it.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. No, that was a great analogy. So, okay, the first listener question was, what are your and Chelsea's favorite specialty rulers? And mine, this probably won't come as a big surprise, but I love the Mini Simple Folded Corners by Doug Leco.
Oh, yeah. Good ruler.
Yeah. It's one of those that just stays on my stand with my rulers that I use all the time. I use it that much that it just stays in the ruler stand on my cutting table.
So, Doug, it's an important ruler.
Yes.
mine is the Half Square Triangle 4-in-1. It's a Creative Grids ruler. I really, really love that one. I use that to trim like all of my half square triangles. Yes.
Okay.
So that one's handy for me.
Yeah. Okay. The next question was actually about solid colors that coordinate with different fabric collections. And the writer said it's frustrating to try and identify and then find the solid colors that coordinate with the different designs that come out. Any suggestions? And I actually do a solids post with every collection that we've done. I might not have done it with the real early ones, but
yeah.
I've been doing it the last several collections. So if you can't find that, you can always email me and I'll send you a link.
Yeah.
But a lot of other designers do that too. I know Vanessa Gertzen does that. Corey Yoder does that.
Joanna.
So does Joanna do it
yeah,
too?
Okay. She has it on her website. Okay. She'll sell a bundle actually that coordinates with the collections that okay. she has.
Okay. So yeah, I think if you have a designer that, and just email them. And
yeah.
They might have already done it and posted it somewhere and they can direct you to that.
Yes.
So, but that was a great question. So, okay. Number four.
How much time do you spend weekly on keeping your scraps in a usable size and shape for your own use? This is something I will completely admit I want to be better about. Right now, I've talked about before, I have them by color in separate bins. And it is helpful for me just having that already done. I was just in there the other night making a test block for a quilt and I needed to use specific colors and it was really helpful. So I would like to dive into having different sizes, pieces separated as well. But right now that really is helpful to me.
Just to have the bins by color.
Just to have them by color is super helpful.
Yeah. So this is actually one of my Saturday system projects for the first Saturday of the month. And so I would say I spend for sure at least an hour or hour and a half about once a month. But what I also do is when I'm cutting out quilts, I will cut the scraps right then.
Oh, that's such a good idea.
So as much as possible. And sometimes it takes me a little bit longer to get started. But for example, this week I'm working on one of the new quilts already. And so I have some 2.5-inch squares that were left over in a pile ready to go into my 2.5-inch square box. And I have some 1.5-inch strips. And so if I just notice while I'm sewing that those pieces are going to be easy to cut into scrap pieces, I'll do it as I'm cutting out the project.
Yeah. And I know you just noted that, it'll take you a little bit of extra time, but in the future, it will save you so much time.
Right.
So doing that, saves you time in the end. Yeah. So that's a great idea.
Yeah. And I think just get a system that works for you and do it regularly, whether it's weekly or monthly or quarterly if you're not sewing that much. So
I agree. I love that.
Yeah, that was a great question.
Number 5.
This is a good one, too.
How do you organize and schedule in your business? For example, how many days do you dedicate to designing your fabric? Or how many days do you work on the pattern design? Or dedicate to actual construction of your quilts, etc.? This was a great question. I feel like some of these things are seasonal for me, especially designing the fabric.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something, like right now, for example, I have a deadline for when our next fabric line will be due. And I just was actually telling Mom, I'm like, I'd like to do that a little bit early. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we can go over that within the next month. So it is actually something you can put into your schedule.
Right.
For me, what has helped is I actually ended up getting a large calendar that I hung up in my bedroom. And that way my whole family can like we have everything on there and I have due dates for certain things. Like we just had specific pictures that were due for a catalog.
Right.
And I've had it on my calendar for a month. So I knew, that's kind of how I'm scheduling mine. If I can see it, I know it's going to get done.
Right.
So
that's a great idea. I just hung up a board in my office, actually. A lot of different organizing people I have learned from talk about a daily big three and a weekly big three. And so I put the weekly big three on that whiteboard, and it's been really helpful because every time I walk in to sit down on my desk, I see my weekly big three.
I love that.
And it's been really helpful.
I'm gonna write that down.
So one of them I already got done, and it's just great. So, yeah, that's been really helpful.
So you don't do a daily big three?
I do, too. But that's written just down on my little planner. But the weekly big three for the business is on the whiteboard by my desk.
I love that. I'm going to add that to mine, too. I think that's great.
It's been helpful. So
yeah.
And then as far as, like, the other parts of the question, so I wouldn't say that every week we're working on designing.
Yeah.
Or that's not a weekly task. But I feel like I try to sew every day. It doesn't always happen. Yeah. But I feel like I kind of try to do my mornings just getting things done in the office. And I try to get in the sewing room every afternoon, even if it's, like we've talked about before, even if it's just 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So
your whole time block thing has been helpful for me because I'm trying to implement more, like be better about more. But I mean, my days are so different from your days. I feel like,
right.
Just because I have that whole block where I'm doing homeschool.
Right.
But then, you know, I do get work done in the afternoon and the kids, I mean, it's a great system so far. Right. I would just like to add a little time block section before school that I could be better about. So.
Oh yeah. Get up a little earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I agree. Not all of these things are on our weekly list, you know, but yeah, sewing, I try to get to every day, and soon I truly will be sewing every day because we have new quilts, but scheduling, it really is a game changer. I feel like I can't function without a schedule.
Right.
So keeps me in line and on task.
Right. And I try to do photography about once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do. I'm not a great photographer, but the natural light helps so much that I do kind of look at Weatherbug to see when it's going to be sunny or cloudy.
Yeah.
So that I can try to, we've had no rain, but lots of clouds this year. And so I try to plan a day for photos when it's going to be sunny.
I actually have to make a note because Mom, I feel like your photography is getting so much better. It looks so good.
You're thanks.
Doing amazing, but natural light is really so, so important. So like I did pictures yesterday and the clouds came rolling in and I texted Mom. I'm like, I got lucky because I got all these pictures done before these clouds came and covered up kind of my natural light. So,
Yeah, I got a couple pictures. I actually took some pictures yesterday of my Blockheads 3 quilt. So,
oh, fun.
Yeah.
It's so pretty.
So I got some fun pictures and I'll actually, you might have already seen, let's see, this is going to air February 1st. Yeah, you might have already seen a sneak peek of that.
A sneak peek of it.
I made sure to take a couple of pictures without the last block showing so that I could show. So, yeah. So, but yeah, I feel like, yeah, so, and as far as pattern design, whenever I come up with an idea for a pattern, I actually have a list of pattern ideas in my phone, and I'll just write kind of a brief description of what comes up in my head. And then when it is time to sit down and design, I kind of do that in bulk too, but I'll look at my list and and just kind of,
I do that kind of, I'll draw pictures of the block that I'm thinking of, and then I'll go back to it, and then I have that to refer to.
Yeah. And I feel like if I can stay ahead of the game on that with ideas, then I don't have to stress when it's time to actually sit down and do it.
So. I'm nervous about that. So far, I'm doing really good. I messaged you yesterday and I was like, Mom, I'm trying to stay ahead. And so far, I'm doing it. But right now, we're kind of really going to be busy again.
Yes.
And so I'm trying to make sure that I'm on top of it and still getting good sleep. So we'll see. how it
we
goes.
Have a little bit extra time this time, though.
We do. We don't normally get our sample yardage this early. And we were very surprised that we got it this early. So we're excited.
It was a fun surprise.
Yeah. And we're actually getting strike offs for our fall collection soon. So lots of good things this year, I feel like.
Yeah. So this next one, any ideas you have for keeping creativity flowing? That is something I think that affects all quilters at different times. You you feel like you're really creative for a time or a season, and then all of a sudden you just feel like blah, right?
And it's, yeah, it's not just quilters. It's any creator, any,
right?
This resonates completely across the board.
Right.
I have told mom so many times before, I can't force it. I can't force, like, if there's a fabric line that we're working on, I can't. And I'll tell mom that. And then literally, like, one day I'll be like, hey, I just did this whole fabric line in like 3 days because it couldn't, because I couldn't stop it, right. You know? And something, you know, it's normal. That's okay. Like, sometimes you're just not feeling it. And that is actually the best time to take a break and to rest.
Mm-hmm.
You can't force creativity.
Yeah.
And that's just the truth for me. I mean,
no, I believe that too. For me, when I get in a kind of a rut like that, it does help to clean. I don't know. It kind of clears my mind.
Yeah.
So.
No, I agree with that completely. Yeah.
Cleaning my sewing room, even
doing laundry,
cleaning my bathroom. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I actually, last week I scheduled my whole week. This is one of those days when I knew I wouldn't do anything that day. I needed to paint my bathroom. And so I scheduled my week so that.
Did you already do it?
I did it.
What? So, yeah. I'm so proud of you.
I still have to do the little room where the toilet is. Yeah. But I got the whole bathroom.
Oh, I bet it's so pretty.
So, yeah. But I knew it was a full day project, and it was.
Yeah.
I didn't finish until about 7 o'clock that night. Wow. So.
Oh, I bet it looks so good.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to like a little trip across the hall after the podcast today.
But I felt like I came up with a lot of ideas for quilting while I was painting with the roller and taping.
So you don't realize how much time you have to think to yourself when you're doing something like that.
Right.
You know? I think that's a great way to spark creativity. Yeah. Or and I agree, organizing or cleaning is another one. You have time to sit and think and just like clear your mind. So.
And I feel like we have a great conversation going on in the comments for the videos too. So if any of you have ideas for this, you know, feel free to leave a comment on this video.
Yeah, something that
would help everybody else. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know you guys have a Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And maybe it's not attended to as much as it could be, but I know it's hard. You know, it's hard to, it's time consuming to, especially as they grow. So maybe, like you're saying in comments, and obviously I know you can't answer every single comment on YouTube either, but it does seem that there's a lot of people that are sort of exchanging ideas back and forth as well, which is a good thing, I would imagine, for quilters to share knowledge and experience with one another, even if it's not directly from you guys or whatever. So
Exactly.
Yeah. And I usually wait about a day after we post, and then I'll go and try to read all the comments.
I love reading the comments
back.
People are so sweet, and you're right, that little exchange of, you know, communication is
and we really awesome. We really appreciate that. So
Okay.
Number 7.
Do you tend to make a quilt from start to finish, or do you usually have several projects going on all at once? Do you have any UFOs from many years ago that have just sat untouched for a long time? So this was two questions. So let's just dive into the first one.
Okay.
Do you tend to make a quilt from start to finish? And me, for the most part, yes.
Okay.
I do have unfinished projects, but for the most part, I am finishing start to finish.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I probably not as much for me then. Right now on my ironing board, I have my February block of the month all ready to go. We're filming a video for that actually this week so that you'll be able to watch that. And so I've got that all started and all the pieces and steps done. And then I have my first quilt with our new fabric going. And I also have a Christmas project started. And then I have been trying to work on those long-term works in progress too. So
those I'm not so great at. And so I just like to complete the project.
Right.
It's hard for me not to just complete it.
Right.
So it's interesting to see how we both work.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
Well, this this one project that I'm trying to get done real quickly with the new fabric, one of my quilters is actually going to be driving by the highway Sunday or Monday.
And oh, really?
So she said, if you have something done, I'll meet you at the highway.
Oh, perfect.
And I can give it to her. So it's just a little.
This is good to know. I have something to give her.
It's just a little 33. It's Val. So it's.
Oh, it's Val. Yeah. Okay.
So it's just like a 33 by 33 wall hanging, but I'm thinking I can get that
done.
Oh,
you'll have it done.
Yeah.
You'll totally have it done.
So then she can, I can just meet
her. Oh, that's awesome.
At the highway, so
I have to ask, what's the acronym UFO stand for in the quilting world? Because I have no idea. I'm sure probably everyone listening
Billy's
does.
Billy's learning
the
terminology.
Yeah, so we should fill him in on that. UFO is unfinished object, so like a quilt that's not finished.
Okay.
And then you might also hear WIP. Work in progress.
Okay.
Right.
And Mom, why don't you tell him our inside joke one? Waff.
Oh, width of fabric.
Oh.
WOF. So, yeah, Chelsea didn't know that when we first started.
And yeah.
She was reading a pattern to me because
I was Bright Sun.
Yeah, I was sewing. She was pressing and reading me the pattern. Oh, we were in such a rush. And so, anyway, she said, was reading the directions and said waff instead of with the fabric.
Yeah.
And she used kind of a British accent.
Yeah.
It was late at night. We were
very tired and we just could not stop laughing. It was just like, cut three strips, 2.5 inches by waff.
And right. And then she's like, Mom, what is waff?
Yeah. And Mom just like lost it. It was the funniest thing ever. And I'm pretty sure we were delirious, but
yeah.
You know, Billy will fill you in.
Well, that's when the funniest things happen, when you're really tired. Yeah.
Very true.
It's interesting that you asked that because I did read something on somebody's blog the other day, and she differentiated between her UFOs. I wish I could remember what blog I read it on, but she said something like a UFO is something that has sat for a really long time unfinished.
Oh, okay.
And a work in progress is something that you're making regular.
I like the distinction.
Yeah. So I had never really thought about that.
That's interesting.
So, yeah. So.
Okay.
Good that you brought that up.
Yeah, because I'm well aware of the other type of UFOs,
right?
But
yeah. So, and that kind of just leads us right into the next question.
Yeah.
Do you have any UFOs from many years ago that have just sat and touched for a long time?
Yes, I do.
You do? What?
I have two. One is actually one of Joanna Figueroa's quilt patterns. She did a Halloween-inspired version, and I have the golds from Valley, and then I have Vanessa Gertzen of Lella Boutique has really, really pretty like charcoal colors. And so, I mean, the blocks, there's a lot of it done. I just need to like finish it.
Oh, good.
And then I also have a Christmas one that has been sitting for a really long time. It's a Christmas tree pattern. And I think those are the two main ones. I might have started a few others, but those are like a long, like, I've already like done a lot of work on those, so I need to just finish them.
Yeah. I don't have too many, actually. I had a couple right when the pandemic started.
Yeah.
And I hurried and got a couple of them done. In fact, Marion has one of them to quilt.
Oh, awesome.
So I have some things that I haven't started that are kind of grouped together, fabric and pattern, but they haven't actually been started. But I do have one that has some embroidery on it that I think it's a 9-block quilt, and I did 3. So
Look at you making good use of your time.
Well, I'll have to get back to that one eventually. But I think I've done fairly well at cleaning up the UFOs and I've said this before too. I have works in progress that I want to take a long time.
See, yeah, I would say I have some of those too now that like we have that distinction.
Right.
But yeah, that kind of goes back to what I said earlier about finishing projects start to finish. I really don't have very many UFOs. I like to get the projects done but works in progress, I do have a fall quilt that I need to finish. I've been simultaneously just like doing blocks here and there because I have all the pieces like laid out. But yeah, so, and then like projects I want to do, like you said, like I have fabric set aside right. with a pattern on top of it ready to go.
Right.
But yeah.
So yeah, another fun question. Number 8 says, my question is about long log cabin blocks that I'm making for another sew along. For the light side or low volume side, do you just use the collection fabric or do you add other white or low volumes? She has a second part of her question too, so we'll just do that part
first. Yeah, let's focus on the first one. I really love this question. I have a perfect example for it in my Hearts at Home quilts. Mm-hmm. I have the original version, which is a 16 block version, and then I have Hearts at Home 2, which is a different size block. I have made two versions of the first, and with one, I used low volumes from a specific collection. And I love that because I was able to match the specific background. I feel like if you're going to mix in solids and things, I think that's great. I think as long as they match, you know, the right color as a low volume or a background, I think it works perfect and looks great. So, yeah, it adds variety and you can even mix in other collections. There's collections that match our low volume background. And so, yeah.
Yeah, and I have a couple quilts actually in my Labor of Love quilt book, the log cabin quilt in there. Yeah. I used scrappy lights and low volumes from a ton of different collections. Of course, the darks were all scrappy too.
Yes.
But more recently, I've been making the mini log cabin blocks, and we filmed a video on that too. And those are all scrappy low volumes from all of our collections that I'm using for that. So.
And they go so well together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think definitely if you find something that goes with something you use, it makes sense to add it in and just give it more depth.
Yeah, completely. I did that with a Stars and Stripes quilt. I mixed a bunch of low volumes from that and ours. So it, as long as they look seamless and kind of, I think it'll work.
Yeah. Okay, and then the next part of her question was, have either of you done foundation paper piecing? Do you like it or dislike it?
So maybe this is one of the techniques I should work on this year because I never have.
Oh, you haven't.
I'm so intimidated by it. So I don't know. Maybe that'll be one of the techniques I work on this year.
There's a tutorial on Mom's YouTube channel you could watch.
Hey,
I remember filming it.
Nice plug there. Nice.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. This is perfect for me.
Yeah. No, and that brings me right into it. And I think I even said this on the tutorial. I sometimes in the past have referred to it as a necessary evil. Like, I don't love it. I don't truly love it. But sometimes I feel like there are certain blocks that you can't get done any other way.
Yeah.
Just with really almost sliver tiny pieces.
Yeah.
And so, but this is the other thing. Whenever I make something using it, I always love the result.
Yeah.
You do waste more fabric with foundation paper piecing. And so if that bothers you, it's probably not for you. I've talked to people in classes that they just can't do it because they don't want to waste that fabric.
Yeah.
And I don't love it, but when I do it, I'm happy with it. And I will, you know, venture to say that I can see myself challenging myself to do a fully foundation paper piece quilt someday.
I can see you challenging yourself.
I can see that. I'll just have to grin and bear it. But
I was going to say, I feel like it's so funny that you call it a necessary necessary evil or whatever you call it. Because yours always turn out so beautiful. I mean, they always turn out so pretty.
I have the tools for it and it does seem to take a longer amount of time and...
This is starting to sound like something I will not enjoy.
Maybe I should just watch the video.
I'm going to go watch the video, guys, because maybe that will change my mind.
Yeah.
If not, I'm going for curves and making them a hollow quilt this year because.
Okay. But yeah, I much prefer English paper piecing to foundation paper piecing.
Okay.
So maybe you should try that for your new technique.
Yeah, maybe. First. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So the next one says, do you have ideas about organizing quilting books? I think I have a little bit to say about this.
Okay.
I have a section on the shelf in my sewing room that I keep all of my favorites.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like maybe that's kind of a way that I'm organizing them. And I'm so strange. I will either do one of two things. I will organize them by color because the home edit kind of inspired me to do that. Or I will make sure it is a gradual decline in the length of the book.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of strange like that. Like it bugs me if it's all different sizes. I like a nice little staircase of books unless I'm going to do them by color. So
right. That's so funny because I do that too. I like the taller books on the left. Yeah. And then
it's whatever aesthetic you kind of like to look at. I feel like viewing that is like so important for me.
Right.
It's so weird to say that. Like,
yeah. And with that, I do try to keep books by the same author together. Usually they have the same publisher and so their books
are the same size. Yeah. Oh. Wow. Did anyone hear motorcycle?
A motorcycle or something.
Yeah, just drove by. Sorry, listeners. There's a motorcycle that just drove by.
Maybe this is a good time just to throw it in here that you might hear Chelsea's kids in this episode. I'll see how much we can get them out, but they're...
They are downstairs.
She had to bring them today, and I think they're overpowering the grandpa.
We did. We had to take a little pause and go tell... them to maybe be a little bit quieter. It was very funny. So
yes,
I love my kids.
Yeah, and they talked them into making cookies. So we heard the mixer. Yeah, earlier.
We were like, "What is that sound?" It was like a whirring, and we couldn't figure it out. And my dad was down in the kitchen making cookies. All the kids were on top of the counters. I'm like, "Oh my goodness."
So yeah, okay. So foundation paper piecing. I think I cleared that out. And then the quilting books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I was kind of going to ask Billy because he loves to read how he organizes his books.
Well, I was going to ask you guys first because, and maybe I was looking at something else here, but what about topical organization? Maybe that might be what they're asking about. Like, are there a lot of different type of quilt books for different types of projects? You know what I mean? Like if someone wanted to.
Yeah, and
organize it that way.
Yeah, I feel like I do that a little bit. If I have something that's more historical, those are together.
Yeah.
Or block books are together. And then the Moda All-Stars books.
Those are all together.
Martingale, they're all the same size, and I keep them all together. Yeah. But topic, that's a great idea. So.
Yeah, that is a good idea.
I do keep my reference books together, so yeah, but... But pretty much like Chelsea said, it's mostly taller to shorter.
We're going back to the taller to shorter.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to have to think about that. And actually, when I got that question, it made me think, wow, I probably should organize my quilting books. So that actually went on my to-do list. So thank you for that question.
On the ball, Mom.
Because if you were to ask me, I organize my personal books like a bookstore by category more than size. So if you go into a bookstore, you got all different types of sizes next to each other, but they're all fiction, nonfiction, biography, whatever. You know?
That's a good idea.
That's how I do it.
Yeah, I should probably do that by author and category.
Yeah.
So
we have three different great suggestions, guys.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to the end of our questions.
Yeah.
We do have some kind comments from some listeners and viewers that these I actually took from either emails or YouTube video comments. So, and we have three of them. So should we just share those?
Yeah, I'll read the first two. Do you want to read the last one?
Yep.
Okay. So our first, review is, thanks for all you're doing. I listen and re-listen to your podcasts here in New Zealand. Oh, thank APQ, yeah. especially if I can't sleep too. I set all the podcasts going. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I love that.
I am the same way. If I can't sleep, I have to turn something on. So I love that.
And that's actually what I was looking at earlier. I pulled up some stats. I don't know if anyone would be curious in this, but obviously the majority of your listeners are in North America.
Yeah.
But what continent would you guys think has your second most listeners? And it's not Antarctica.
Okay. I don't know. Is it Europe?
South America.
It is Europe. Oh, yeah. Okay. But the third
is South America. South America.
No, it's actually Australia, which New Zealand is part of that.
Yeah. Okay.
That continent.
That's so cool.
So yeah, so Europe and then Australia area, and then it sort of drops down. Actually, Asia. And then South America, and then
Africa. Oh my goodness!
So, but you literally have listeners
all over the world.
All over the world. So
that's so interesting. I find
that super interesting, actually, and I think it's so fun that we're able to connect with so many people from all over the world. I love that.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Okay, so the next one says, "No question, just gratitude. I enjoy your podcast and your planner. Yours is my favorite quilting blog, especially your Saturday 7. God bless. Happy 2021. Yes. That was so sweet. Yes, I should have had you read that one.
No, thank you.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. And then I love this last one too, because we appreciate Billy so much. It says, Sherry and Chelsea are fortunate to have Billy overseeing their podcast process. This kicks up the quality so much. Your quilting podcast is one of the best sound-wise and visually. And of course, the content is delightful. Thank you for listing special items you mentioned. So helpful. Happy New Year. And yeah, Billy takes a lot of time with the sound. And I know it's very time consuming. So we really appreciate him doing that.
Well, too. And yeah, everything. Yeah. Everything, the editing. Yeah. Just.
I enjoy it. And I get better at it as I go. So it's not as... I get quicker at it too. So
yeah, that has been rewarding to see that you can do it a little faster. I don't feel so bad with the time. But
thank you. I'm glad that.
So yeah, that appreciate. I had to put that one in there. So yeah, and our next episode is February 15th, and if all goes well, it's going to be a really special episode.
So it is going to be a special episode. So we will leave the surprise.
Yes, we'll have a surprise for you that day.
Yeah.
Oh, so I know I keep interjecting, but you forgot to bring cake to this episode. You mentioned
that.
Right. So I know someone's going to say something about it.
Yeah. I did.
So you better bring it next
time. I'll make up for it next time. Actually, this will be perfect because... the next podcast is a very special one. So cake will be
very... it'll be appropriate for that episode. It'll be appropriate
for that episode. Dang it.
Yes. We have to remind her a couple Billy's days
Billy's keeping me on my toes, guys.
I have the comments open, okay. So I'm cheating a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Cake it is, guys.
Cake it is. Next time. Yes. Well, we really appreciate you being here with us today. And
yeah.
Thanks so much for stopping by.